Oh, such a clutch off-season pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
What, you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
Shop Blinds.com right now and get up to 40% off select styles, plus a free professional measure and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Save up to 40% at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Do you believe you are wrongfully terminated for speaking up against your employer? Wilshire Law Firm isn't afraid to go up against corporate giants and will protect you every step of the way. Get justice and feel safe. Call the experts at Wilshire Law Firm at 1-800-800-3333.
Local news can come at you fast. Want the latest on what's happening in your backyard? Download the free Odyssey app. Follow your local news station, and you'll get alerts on the top stories making headlines in your city. You can stay in the know, no matter what you're up to, and be among the first to find out when news breaks. Plus, keep tabs on weather and traffic, so you're never caught off guard. To get started, download the Odyssey app. That's A-U-D-A-C-Y. And follow your local news station.
At 8:42, 18 till 9, Tommy Tucker, WWL, a little bit more than 24 hours after the terrorist attack on Bourbon Street. J.P. Morrell joins us now, New Orleans City Council member. How are you, J.P.?
I'm good. How are you doing, Tommy?
I'm all right. Let's talk about, I guess, first of all, your thoughts, man. You're a native New Orleanian like I am. That terrorism actually struck the city.
It's heartbreaking. There's a lot to process. In the last 36 hours, there's a lot we're still processing as far as law enforcement, the impact we've had on so many people and their loved ones, reunifying families with their injured loved ones, notifying families of people that were lost, trying to organize blood drives because we have a blood shortage in the city, setting up the New Orleans New Year's Tragedy Fund. I mean, there's a lot going on, Tommy, but this is what we do.
Let's talk about press conference yesterday. The entire world is watching, right? And I'm not trying to evaluate anybody's performance or anything, but how, and we're going to talk to Walt Leger in the 9 o'clock hour, how important is it that we got another press conference coming up at 10 o'clock that officials realize that the entire world is watching on this?
Well, I think that when you look at, I cannot tell you how bizarre and weird parts of that press conference was yesterday. And honestly, I don't know what to expect at 10. Right now, from my understanding, right now, Tommy, there's like dueling press conferences. I think there's an 11 o'clock one that the governor is doing with the FBI. And then there's a 10 o'clock one the city's doing that we were kind of loosely notified about. Mm. But it's just, we're trying to project strength as a city, project that we have unified messaging. There's a whole lot of different conflicting messaging. You have the FBI saying that it was one person, then it was many, then it was whatever. You've got the Bollard situation. This is not a time for us to not put our best foot forward, speak with confidence, speak with clarity, and speak with transparency. And if we're just rushing, I mean, I've taken a lot of interviews over the last 24 hours, and honestly, Tommy, there's just so much information, it's so flexible, and it's changing by the minute. I'm almost reluctant to do interviews because so much information changes so quickly, and then I see elected officials who are, like, chasing cameras. Mm-hmm. And it's like, we need to be all on the same page. We need to all be inspiring confidence in the people that are watching us as we share information. And anything less than that does more harm than good.
And I was saying that earlier, JP, that you can't say that we all have to be unified in this and then draw political lines and try to make a name for yourself at a press conference. I'm not, you know, calling anybody out. I'm just saying in general, because the world is watching this, When it comes to the information that you've received, is there any doubt in your mind that any stone is being left unturned, that any resources are being withheld from the federal government, that the FBI is not doing and local law enforcement is not doing everything they can to try to figure out what happened and prevent anything else from happening?
No, I mean, honestly, I can say with confidence, I am confident in what law enforcement is doing. As far as the investigation, the response, I mean, we're going to get into the Ballard situation at the appropriate time because it is a problem, and that's something the council is going to look into with some very specific guidelines and transparency. But when you look at the response of NOPD, you look at the fact that the moment this car was immobilized yesterday, we had three officers immediately take this person down before they could implement whatever the next stage of their plan was. You look at what the FBI, state police, all of our neighboring parishes, I mean, Sheriff Joe LaPinto has been absolutely tremendous, have come together to provide every resource we could possibly need. Law enforcement is pulling in one direction. I think that outside of law enforcement, there's a lot of people pulling in different directions. And like I said, I tell a lot of people this, there will be a time for the quarterbacking when all this is over. But right now it's about making sure people are safe, making sure the city's secure, making sure this game that we're having gets off today without a hiccup, and then moving forward. And for those people who are of two minds about the game today, and I think it's hard if you live here, Tommy, not to be of two minds, because obviously this horrific tragedy has happened. We have to always remember interrupting events like this, us changing our behavior in ways that displays fear, that is what terrorists want. It's the definition of terrorism. So doing the game still, doing it the way we're doing it in a safe, secure way, that is defying terrorism, because that is not what they want us to do.
And going to the game
for a terrorist,
and right, going out on the street where it is safe, where the area is not closed off, is JP, that's the only thing you can do. Otherwise, they win.
That's exactly it. I mean, if this game had been canceled, if we had shut down the city, and if we had people sheltering in place, even though the city is secure and safe, that is a win for ISIS. That is a win for terrorism. They go, we got them. We got them to acknowledge how powerful and great we are and that our war of terror was successful. Us doing the opposite infuriates them and makes them realize we will not be broken. And we are a city, Tommy. We are a city that existed before the United States. We are a city that has survived disasters, both man-made and natural, and we are a city like Boston, like New York, that is a victim of a terror attack, and like those other two great old cities in the United States, we will emerge from this just as strong, as unified as we need to be. And so, I mean, I think the messaging I've told people is like, listen, we cannot let this define us. We are not victims, we're survivors.
Let me take a break. We'll pick it up here. We'll come back talking about, we want to talk to you about the French, the Bourbon Street and pedestrian only. I don't know how you would do that. And then when it comes to, you know, New York Times story today, vehicle ramming attacks, using cars and trucks as weapons has become common. We spoke, and also for people who want to use the rewind feature, go to WWL.com, hear the interview. We spoke with Ari Kruglansky, a distinguished university professor in psychology, the University of Maryland, on radicalization and extremism. And one thing ISIS is pushing, as always, JP, you know, the terrorist model is based on, you know, catch you at your weakest moment, at your weakest link, and use the minimum resources. The war against terror has cost between $8 and $9 trillion so far. And if you look at what Osama bin Laden accomplished on 9/11, I'm not applauding him for this, but it was a successful attack, whether you want to admit it or not. It was. That's the way terrorism works. But with that being said, you know, as far as you can't, Mardi Gras is an open thing. You can't, I don't know how you keep everybody safe from anything like this at all. It's a cost of living in an open society. We'll drill down more with J.P. Moreau. We come back right now. Traffic, WWL. 8:53, Tommy Tucker, WWL, back with J.P. Morrell, New Orleans City Council member. J.P., when it comes to the French Quarter becoming, or rather Bourbon Street becoming pedestrian only, is there any way to really make that happen with getting the trucks in and out of what they got to deliver and not deliver? Or is there a comparison to be made between Times Square? Take me through all of that.
Well, I mean, I think that certainly, as you know, I've actually end of last year, I actually began the process of trying to investigate turning Bourbon Street into a full-time pedestrian mall. With a pedestrian mall, Tommy, there are time periods and limited ability with singular locations to allow deliveries into stuff like restaurants, but it's not just Times Square. Throughout Europe, there's a whole host of pedestrian malls. The reality is, I mean, Tommy, I swear I'm having deja vu. I think we had this conversation when I first floated this idea. Mm-hmm. The idea that you could be out there during the middle of major festivals, including, like, I think last time we discussed this, it was right after French Quarter Fest, in fact. And I was like, I'm getting videos from people who are entering or exiting French Quarter Fest in the hours before it starts, and they're trying to duck out of cars zipping through the French Quarter. Mm-hmm. And the reality is that the French Quarter is sold nationally and internationally as this walkable place where people go to enjoy and maybe have a few too many drinks and wander around. The fact that we have cars zipping through it, it's kind of nonsense. So I think the reality is, yeah, I mean, there are plenty of places we can look at. There's parts of Boston, for example, that are historical that are completely pedestrian. They do allow limited deliveries during set periods, but once you decide to make something a walkable space, you eliminate many of the entrances and exits, and you have very limited entrances that are removable to allow delivery. So, I mean, it can be done. I think it's a conversation we're going to have again in a much more robust way, because if we're going to continue to sell Bourbon Street internationally as this destination for these type of people, I mean, Tommy, after yesterday, how many people want to walk on Bourbon Street or even want to consider it after what happened?
Mm. JP, I don't give anybody any ideas or anything, but we all know what happens at Mardi Gras and Neutral Grounds and everything else. And I don't know. I'm trying to remember because I'm out there broadcasting. I don't know if the other side of St. Charles is blocked or not. I don't know how you keep everybody safe from everything like that. If a terrorist is looking to hit you at your weakest moment, at your most vulnerable, thoughts?
Well, but I think that's a different comparison, because making Bourbon Street inoperable would be year-round. As far as during Mardi Gras, we are having some very high-level conversations about what Mardi Gras looks like for this year in the wake of this terror attack. And there are a tremendous amount of ways that we as a city can have more hardened infrastructure. Something you heard about yesterday, and you've heard from a lot of national and international authorities on this, is it's the sand trucks, it's the dump trucks at the major intersections. It's preventing there being, I mean, our last major incident with vehicular damage during a parade wasn't a terror attack, it was a drunk during Endymion.
Yep.
So, I mean, regardless of even this terror attack happening, which is horrific in itself, we have not done a good job of hardening our Mardi Gras infrastructure. And I can tell you that there's likely going to be some changes for Mardi Gras, and those will probably be socialized probably next week.
And we're on the same page here, because you've been on a neutral ground on St. Charles Avenue. And when I heard about this, first thing I thought of was, you know, as tightly as those people are packed in, new regulations or not, with tents and grills and this and that and the other thing, there is no way anybody could move if they wanted to. And it would be, I'll just leave it at that, but let's just let it go at you're saying that that's being considered and there are high-level discussions being had.
Yes, sir.
Okay. Final thoughts, JP, about people that want to go walk around the quarter and feel safe? Because you're talking about, you know, who would want to walk around Bourbon Street. I'm of the ilk, and I'm probably cut of the same cloth as you is. This makes me want to walk down Bourbon Street just to show I'm not afraid, right?
Well, I mean, the reality is that what I tell people, because a lot of people ask me, is it safe to go downtown? Is it safe to go for the Sugar Bowl, whatever? And it's like, first off, downtown has more resources and security than it's ever had before as of today. I am cautioning that people be prepared for delays, be prepared for potential checkpoints. this is not the airport pre-9/11. It's the airport post-9/11 where there's going to be delays, and you have to build that into your visit downtown during the Sugar Bowl and during this week. Terrorism is about scaring people and making us change our behavior. The way you defeat terrorism is to not let it change who you are and not change how this city is. I mean, we're a welcoming, open city where people kind of live here with joy. And once you let terrorists change your fundamental way of how you view society, your country, your government, and yourself, they win. So to your point, the way you really flip off ISIS is living your life, because that's not it. What they want you to do.
That's what I was looking for, flip off. Thank you, JP. And quickly, it is accurate to say Mardi Gras, French Quarter Fest, a lot of other things going to look different this year?
For right now, I would say we're primarily focused on dealing with Mardi Gras. French Quarter Fest, that's a little further out, but that will probably be on the radar. But right now, it's looking at Sugar Bowl today, Super Bowl next month, and Mardi Gras for the moment.
Thank you, JP. Appreciate it. We'll talk to you again soon. When we come back, we'll talk to Steve Scalise, House Majority Leader on WWL.